doctrine in it that we had to just keep going through it. So, of course, the first time, death by sin. And we saw that death passed upon all men because of sin. Then we looked at the phrase, no law. What does that mean? That the law defines sin. The law leads us to our need for a Savior, our schoolmaster. Then last week, the free gift. And how our salvation is not just a gift, but God emphasizes that phrase, free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot pay for it. So we'll finish the chapter tonight again. Same passage, but from a different angle, and that has to do with grace. So notice Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So our title from the verse 21, grace did much more abound. Verse 20, sorry. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom and your presence and teach us from your precious word tonight. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here, Lord, and the privilege of being back in church, so many of us. And we pray you'll bless our hearts now as we open the word together. And Lord, that we would glorify you with our attention to your word and the Holy Spirit. And later on, as we pray one for another, we are grateful for your kindness and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 20 is where we'll start tonight. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded. Now, most of this chapter has been about sin, death by sin, how the law shows us that we're sinners. But sin abounded. And that is a good explanation of where man finds himself, isn't it? Go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. And that is an abundance of sin. Man is not... It's complicated. But man is not a sinner because he sins. Man sins because he's a sinner. Those are different, aren't they? We are inherently sinners, which leads us to sin. And this sin abounds. It rules this world and it rules our lives until we find Christ. But notice Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Did you see that? By nature? When we get saved, we get a new nature. We get a heavenly nature through the Holy Spirit of God. But we were by nature the children of wrath. And as it said there, that we had our conversation in time past. In other words, before we got saved, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We lived for the flesh. We lived for self. Sin abounds. And we only just have to look at this world and we see it. And as we saw there, verse 1 of Ephesians 2, the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. The devil is currently the prince of this world, and it's all about sin. And so sin abounds, and God said here in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, hallelujah, grace did much more abound. What God is telling us is that there's more grace than there is sin. That's good news, isn't it? Because there's a lot of sin. But there's an infinite amount of grace because it comes from God. Go to John 1:17. We'll be reminded tonight that Jesus came to bring us grace. We live in what's called the dispensation of grace. Notice John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So right there, God is defining two dispensations, the dispensation of law, which started with Moses and finished at Calvary, and the dispensation of grace, which is the dispensation we find ourselves in. And that's exactly what it's called in Ephesians 3:2. So turn over there if you would. So we're not just making this stuff up as we go. The word dispensation's in the Bible. And God defines for us which dispensation we are in here in Ephesians 3. Start in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. It was given to Paul. And until it came from Paul, man was not aware that it even existed. The Old Testament prophets didn't see it. It was a mystery. God brought in a new dispensation, the dispensation, as it says here, of the grace of God. It's all about grace in the church age. Go to Acts 20, verse 24, and Paul says that that's even the name of our gospel. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so when we share the gospel with lost people, that Jesus died for their sins, that they deserve to go to hell for their sins, and that Jesus paid the price, rose again, and if we will believe what he did and repent, that is referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. God saves us by his grace alone. Amen? For by grace are ye saved through faith. So when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved by grace and grace alone, which means no works. So this grace abounds, God says. And that is true, as we see, for salvation, for this dispensation, but it's true for you and I in our daily lives. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 17 where we were. He says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. So the day that we are saved, we receive abundance of grace. Praise God. And 2 Corinthians 12:9. Remember when Paul asked God to remove his thorn? God wanted Paul to learn some lessons, and one of the lessons he wanted him to learn was to rely on the grace of God. Notice 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I gave you this thorn on purpose, and you need it. Because I want you to learn something. I want you to learn that my grace is sufficient. My grace will get you through this thorn. This grace which abounds. And if you go to Galatians 2:21, Paul, in speaking to the Galatians, the people at Galatia, their biggest struggle was the Judaizers who were coming in and saying that, yes, it's good to trust Jesus, but you need to keep the law as well. And Galatians is written primarily to dispute that. And notice in Galatians 2:21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So how can you frustrate the grace of God? Well, look what he says. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The way to frustrate the grace of God is to teach that you can earn heaven with works. that frustrates the grace of God. It negates the grace of God for a sinner when you tell them, if you'll do this, this, and this, you can earn heaven. You've just frustrated the grace of God, which says, no, for by grace are you saved. It's a gift. This grace is, it abounds. And then James 4, 6, my favorite on this. Turn over there if you would. I love this passage. Just the first part of the verse, we actually sing a song out of our praises book. What does it say? He giveth more grace. More than what? Take your pick. More than anything. God giveth more grace. And where sin abounded, hallelujah, grace did much more abound. As we know, we're saved by grace. The grace of God, it says, Titus 2:1, that bringeth salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, Ephesians 2:8, and so forth. So we are saved by the grace of God. We saw up there in verse 15 of our passage, look in Romans 5. He says, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. Last week we talked about the free gift. God says the gift is by grace. It's because of the grace of God that he offers us the gift of salvation. And so back to our passage, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants grace to reign in our lives. We received this abundance of grace at salvation. We were saved by the grace of God through the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God. But now he wants us to allow it to reign in our lives, which again, we saw how God was trying to teach Paul this lesson through this thorn. And let's look at some verses then on this grace reigning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians 2, 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Riches. Because how much grace is there? There's more. There's an abundance. And the Bible says, through the riches of his grace, he shows us kindness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:3 that the Lord is gracious. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, that we have a high priest who, what, it was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Of all the names God could have given to his throne during the church age, for us Christians, he gave it the name, the throne of grace. It's where we go to receive more grace. Because we're always going to need more grace. 1 Peter 5:10, if you would. How much grace do you need? More. He giveth more. His grace abounds much more. It abounds. 1 Peter 5:10, I love this. It says, the God of all grace. Isn't that good? All grace comes from God, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What is God teaching us? That we're going to suffer, and the suffering is good for us, but he's saying he's the God of all grace. That when we do suffer, and we need grace to get through it, he'll give it. He'll give as much as we need. And of course we read about people who have died in the name of Jesus Christ. They've been martyred. And in the last moments of their lives, how were they able to glorify God? That's grace. That's dying grace. So never forget that when God moved in, he brought you not only the gift of salvation, which was by his grace, but he also brought grace into your life. How much? More. An abundance. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Never forget that. That there's no limits to the grace of God. The only limitation is us. When we won't allow God to work out His grace in our lives, but we're trying to do it on our own. We can't. Which was the lesson he was trying to teach Paul. Paul, you can't do this on your own. You can't get through this thorn on your own. You need my grace. But my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm making you weak on purpose so you rely more on me and my grace. So when we go to the throne, remember, it's the throne of grace. It's the place to find more grace. And it's always available, and there's always more. More than we could ever need, more than the sin that's plaguing us, more than our trials, more than anything. There's always grace because it abounds. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace. We just are so blessed to be your children, that you saved us by your grace. And Lord, that when we need it, it's there. And Lord, may we learn to rely on your grace more instead of relying on our own strength, knowing that you're always ready to give it if we will just but ask. And so I pray, Lord, that we would learn to live the grace of God out in our lives and simultaneously be telling others that they can also be saved by the grace of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.